When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, look at that. I knew something about a punk band.
Just some old fat drunk dudes jumping up and down.
This tree just planted itself right on top of the cement.
I did watch a YouTube video today.
My dad mashed potatoed
of
Enema
Chris Carrava.
Aaron doesn't know who Chris Carrava is. It's so good. That's great. Hey, everybody.
Hey, what's up?
Jesse is playing some shit that is annoying me.
Welcome to the Punk Tree.
It hasn't gotten any better.
Dude, come on. Third Eye Blind?
What's funny is Aaron rode with me tonight. We're recording at Jesse's house. And, Aaron got in my car, and I was, like, trying to play some music, and then he was getting mad because I was, like, looking through my library while I was driving.
Were you playing something other than the two bands that he loves?
I was.
He was actually playing another band that I... He was trying to play another band that I love, but in the process, he was driving in the other lane. You know, the one that drives in the opposite direction?
That is not true.
You were halfway in that lane. A woman had to go and turn in the opposite direction.
All right, well, enough of this nonsense. This is supposed to be...
Anyway,
you drifted.
When I,
there was at least one headlight in that lane.
I'll just shuffle my library on my phone.
Okay, yeah.
Right? And the first thing that came up was a Third Eye Blind song. Uh-huh. It was deep inside of you.
So I started frantically tapping the seek button on his radio, which wasn't working.
He was trying to change it frantically.
Oh, man. This song is from 1997. Now, I know we did a 1999 episode, and we'll have another one soon with a different year, but I don't think we picked it yet.
We have I know. I have been saying for a long time that I feel like 97 was like my time.
Okay.
What? I have not... This is the first time hearing that.
97? You know what my time is.
I have said it before.
You know what my time is, Mike. What year, if I could just pick any one?
2003.
Ooh, close.
Four.
That's fine. Five. I would say five.
Okay.
Because five had all the stuff from three and four, plus some heavy stuff.
It started to get...
Okay, but this is supposed to be Punk Nibbles. It's supposed to be our slightly shorter, less deep divey type episodes, so...
And we'll see how that goes.
Oh, sorry. I just got distracted by the song. I'm just going to turn it off.
Thank you.
Okay, so what have you been listening to? Because this is the kickoff for the show, so what's it been... Or... Instead of what have you been listening to, we could do a shuffle game. Real quick shuffle game. Might be a little quicker.
Because
I know we want to have a specific conversation. So our intro prior to the discussion should be brief.
We'll do shuffle.
All right, let's do the shuffle game.
Numbers three.
Okay.
Number is three.
Ooh,
All right.
I can just do it on my computer because I've already got it open.
Oof, oof. Look at Jesse bragging that he's got a computer.
It's so rare.
Is it
things.
Like, okay, I have a question. When we say it's three, is it like the first song that comes up and then you hit three?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be the fourth song because you press play.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go
then
first. I'm ready to go
click
first.
Click it three times.
I'm ready to go first.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, one, two, three. Okay. What have we got here? Oh, pretty good.
Okay.
Night Drive. By Jimmy Eat World.
All right.
Oh, God.
Not that bad. It could have been much worse.
It's probably too emo for Aaron. Although, I'm just to the point now where I'm like, yes, I'm the emo screamer guy, and I'm comfortable.
Jesse, you're up.
Ooh, okay. All right, here it goes. One, two, Oh, it didn't go. It's like stuck. I'm getting a pinwheel. 3. I also got a Jimmy Eat World song.
No, you didn't.
I did. Wow. I mean, it's literally playing right now on my computer.
You should stop that.
Yeah. I'll turn it up, but it was Chase the Light by Jimmy Eat World.
Wow. All right.
Aaron is so disappointed.
I hope Aaron gets a Jimmy Eat World song. It'd be amazing.
I'm a suspect. I'm a traitor. I'm only here in body visiting. Yellow faces and the distant screams. The beauty is in what is instead. I'm rising to my feet because tonight the world turned to me. Because right now I don't dare.
Ruination, Here We Come by Face to Face.
All right. I was actually listening to Face to Face this week, so.
That is,
I'm so happy new record.
That you were listening to that new record.
It's
that
very, is I really so like
good.
It.
It's so good.
It's very good. Jesse, have you listened to it at all?
Remind me of what you were just saying 10 seconds ago when I wasn't listening.
Well, it's like, it's pretty new still. It's like a few months old, the Face to Face record.
I most likely listened to it when it first dropped, and one of you said something in a text message.
No, did you listen to it is the question. Not, I most likely listened to it when
it first dropped. I thought I remember you telling me that you showed it to him.
I think he heard the single, No Way Out But Through.
Yep. Isn't that the name of that single? Yes, that sounds familiar. So, yeah,
I hit that, but I'm... You should check it out.
That whole album is so
good. Say it again. It's Face to Face.
There's No Way Out But Through.
Yeah.
There's No Way Out But There Is Way Through.
Yeah.
So, type that in and...
Yeah.
Google's smart enough to figure it out.
Yep, got it.
Great. Well, so tonight, or today, whenever you're listening to us ramble here, we have been having conversations about going to shows. We've got a surprise coming up for Aaron at some point, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, Aaron, but it's good. It's going to be a good one.
I don't know that it's going to be good for Aaron.
It might not be, but it'll be fun for everyone else. Okay. Especially our listeners.
That's not going to make you feel better.
Yeah, well, you should. You should feel great.
If you
about
said
it.
That to me, I would be like, oh, God.
Well, Aaron doing? Missed one of our recording sessions. And so, you know.
Stuff happens. He.
Yeah.
The wise wisdoms that were in the last episode, he still doesn't know what they are.
It's true. He doesn't.
I heard you credited me with them. And
something about prejudice.
I'm probably going to be disappointed in that thing.
Yeah.
Basically. I'm disappointed with most things that are credited to me.
And a small thing came up in our previous episode, a couple episodes ago, I think.
Was it Jesse's
about
Wiener?
Singers.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Further Seems Forever, and we kind of had a little thing about, like, you know, the three different singers that sang for them and who was the best. And it kind of got us on this kick of, like, well, who are some of the best voices from, like, the punk rock world?
Whoa. Did you just change this from favorite to best?
Oh. No, okay. We'll go with favorite.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. I wasn't trying
to... So, favorite voices from the punk rock world. And I want to name this so that we don't just bicker about it. The punk rock world is a pretty wide and vast world. And our show is about the tree... Aaron and the offshoots from
I'm on board.
Okay. And so
he says with like a
he said it, but you should see his eyes staring. Yeah,
I mean, there's probably gonna be a lot of eye rolling
there. You guys don't even know how much eye rolling we deal with from Aaron's you know, Jimmy Eat World and other things.
Should probably video this so people can see all the eye rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
Okay, so
just favorite singers.
We'll just kind of like pop up, you know, popcorny. However we want to do it. I don't think you have to pick like one. You could pick a couple, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough.
No less than two, but no more than five.
Wow, five's a lot. Ooh. Okay.
Oh, no, I don't think anybody okay. should get to five. I'm just saying, like, don't go overboard.
All right. Does anybody want to jump out and go first?
Yeah, let's just start with one that definitely makes my top five. I'm not saying it's number one. I'm not going in any order. But since we already mentioned singers, Jason Gleason is one of my favorite singers, for sure. What's interesting to me is choosing him, he doesn't have many albums that like stick with me as what make him favorite. It's really just one record that I just think is phenomenal, where his voice is fantastic, and it's How to Start a Fire by Further Seems Forever. That whole record, I was recently listening to some Action Reaction stuff that he did after Further Seems Forever, and it's good, but just for some reason, I don't know who produced How to Start a Fire. I wouldn't be surprised if it was like Aaron Sprinkle or something, because it sounds right. Mm-hmm. One guy on my list is Jason Gleason. Aaron, what's one that's definitely on your list? Not necessarily one, but just favorite vocalist.
Davey Havoc of AFI.
Okay.
And one thing I find very interesting is like in their early records, you know, Answer That and Stay Fashionable, Very Proud of You. He kind of does the whole punk rock thing where, you know, it's not. I want to say it's not. I was about to say. How it used to be not cool to try. He was definitely trying, but like trying to be good as a punk rock singer, right? But then he got into Black Sails in the Sunset, The Art of Drowning, and then Sing the Sorrow, and he progressively started getting better. Like he was trying to actively sing better. And you saw it a little bit in Black Sails in the Sunset. Still had a little bit of the like really raw grungy punk style. The Art of Drowning started getting a little bit more maybe technical, you say, I don't know, but in mm-hmm. Sing of Sorrow he really kind of opened up and had a much broader range.
What was that vocals. What was the last term? I missed it. Tech you said something
technical.
Is that, okay,
I don't,
yeah, it might have just been said quickly. I didn't catch it.
I'm wondering, so I liked AFI when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And then kind of right after that, right around 2000 and just after, we had the rise of the sort of like weird Hot Topic, yeah, fake punk goth thing with like, what are some of those bands?
Mars Volta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mars Volta. More I'm thinking of like the My mainstream Chemical Romance. Ones. Yeah, My Chemical Romance. Oh. And The Used, and like that whole Taste of Chaos kind of group. There was like one other big one. That was right up there with My Chemical Romance. They're super, super
not
well
the known. Used.
No, anyway, it might come to me, but I feel like I lost AFI mm-hmm. in the rise of all of these bands that kind of like did the similar eye makeup look, did the similar, you know, Danzig like hairstyle. Mm. They kind of like ruined that.
Yeah,
that thing, like, and then the operatic kind of like thing in the voice, you know, because Davey was like not totally doing that, but it was kind of on the edge.
Yeah, I get that. And I mean, Davey Havoc was dressing like that long before those guys ever came around, and I understand that, but even in like Sing the Sorrow, he had, like I said, a wide range of like very soft singing, screaming, and then the stuff that you call like that operatic thing. So that's one thing I really like about him, because he does all those pretty darn well.
Yeah.
But I do understand how that could get lost if you're not like really keeping up with AFI. Like a lot of people jumped in to the AFI bandwagon around that time, and I think possibly because of bands like The Used and My Chemical Romance brought it into the mainstream, and people are like, oh, Sing the Sorrow sounds kind of like that. And then they put out December Underground, which sounded more like that.
And it was selling. And they and they were on the, like, you know, marketable side of pop punk and punk music at the time. Like, they were major t-shirts in the malls and all that kind of stuff. Or t-shirts in major stores in the mall.
And that's really what means you made it, is you've got t-shirts in the mall.
It's interesting though, because we had never have talked about AFI.
No.
And there being one of those pivot points to the post, kind of, if we want to call it the post-punk world, but like their role in emo, screamo.
I was going to say, I think AFI has come up once.
We never would have had like 30 Seconds to Mars.
No.
Right? Like, that totally came from.
No.
Like, Davey Havoc had to have influenced Jared Leto a lot.
His look, at least.
Yeah. But I don't know how much I've talked about this with you guys, but they were my favorite band for, I don't know, like 3 or 4 years. Up until December Underground came out.
Wow. And that just ruined it for you, huh? Or did you just move on to someone else?
No, I just kind of got more open-minded and, like, started listening to other stuff and, like...
You got open-minded?
I said more.
Oh, okay.
More.
Wow, that must have been something.
I guess maybe not more open-minded. I started listening to other stuff and,
just, like, discovering more.
Just discovering more. Discovering more.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, so my first pick, and I kind of picked, as we're thinking through this, I picked a vocalist in kind of three kind of categories. We didn't decide to do that, but I kind of have that in my mind.
I had a feeling you would have a hard time not picking your favorite songwriters.
Yeah.
Or, and like, not factoring in songwriting into their vocal performances.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because I like, I've never been a person who just loved someone who had a great blues voice for the sake of singing blues, right? Like, if somebody was covering somebody else's song, I've never been like, oh.
Except for Norah Jones.
I love that. Like, they covered somebody else's song. Listen, I'd rather hear the original, but whatever. So, my first voice is Chris Hanna. Propagandhi. I just think that it is, to me, the epitome of... the part of me that is what I would just say is punk rock. Propagandhi is like the band that is right in that wheelhouse for me.
Okay.
Right? And his voice is, there's not much whine to it at all. He's not afraid to just give it like a in the middle of a song sometimes when he's feeling it.
Yeah.
He's also not afraid to be a little bit like quirky with, like, the way he says something in a song. And then when he sings something, I think this is, like, what's most important to me, and I'll probably mention this about the other guys I talk about too, or other people I talk about too, he's believable. Like, when he's singing this, you're like, oh man, this thing matters to this person. It really, really matters. And it's also intensified as the band has gone on. It's like his voice has grown as the band has grown.
Oh yeah.
And the band, more than they used to, is actually writing songs with space for just his voice to come through, which you guys know how much, and listeners know how much I love that. That's absolutely, like, my favorite now, is when they're, like, rocking out and then they drop and we just get to hear him, like, say something super similar. Super, super simple. I think Adventures in Zucosis is, like, the epitome of that.
Oh yeah.
Right. When he's just, like, telling the tale of, like, the vocalist in the story, the person in the story is telling their son to, like, run, right? Like, you're gonna grab your brother's hand and run, and I'm gonna show this person what I think of them. You know, it's like, it's beautiful because it's aggressive, but it's honest and it's vulnerable.
Right. It definitely sounds like genuine. Like,
yeah,
he's not trying terribly hard. It's just like, really coming from him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the sad truth is this enclosure is where your old man belongs. But you, your hearts are pure when the operant conditioners come to break you in. I sink my squandered teeth. You grab your little brother's hand, run like the wind. And if I'm not there, don't look back, just go. I don't give a fuck about the enrichment programs. Implemented to extend our captive lifespans. Motherfucker, gonna get a load of what I got planned.
Jesse, you got another one?
Yeah, for sure. I've got a few people in mind. Next, if I were to try to nail down like a number one, this could be it, but I don't know. It's too hard. One of my favorite bands is Emery, and part of what makes Emery great is they have two lead vocalists, and throughout their discography, these two singers, some albums, it's very much like, oh, clearly this guy's taking lead on this song, and this. Anyway, the singers are Devin Shelton and Toby Morell, and part of what makes Emery great is they're both excellent, and when they will have like. They'll often have dueling melodies that they're singing different lyrics right over on top of each other with different melodies that work really well. But also, I tend to like Devin's voice a little bit better. Got nothing against Toby, but he's my second favorite singer in Emery. Devin Shelton is one of my favorite singers, and I just really like his voice.
Toby's definitely my second favorite singer in Emery. As well, Jesse.
Yes, I think
he might be my third favorite or fourth.
Right, because Matt does sing sometimes, and Josh
will shout.
Shout, yes. He'll put the microphone.
So I want to clarify. Toby is my fourth favorite singer in Emery. Except for when Jesse's singing along, then he's my fifth favorite singer in Emery. Yes,
that's me. I usually do sing along.
No, you're my fourth, and Toby's my fifth.
I know you've mentioned some what you don't prefer about Toby's voice. He's too operatic.
I don't love the operatic thing.
I know, and that's okay. But yeah, that's Devin Shelton of Emery.
See Jason Cruz from Strung Out.
Yeah.
And I've liked his voice for a long time, and it's hard for me to pick out exactly what I like about it. I mean, there's like the fact that he doesn't always sing like follow along with the guitars and the drums. Like he kind of takes in a different direction. Yeah, it's hard for me to describe exactly what I like about it.
I mean, what I appreciate about Strung Out in general is this, like, intensity, not just speed, because it's not always the tempo of the song, but there's an intensity to the instrumentation, especially guitar playing.
Yeah.
That is fairly violent. It's super skillful, but fairly violent.
Yeah.
And he tends to sing across the phrasing, whereas, like, you know, I feel like a lot of punk rock vocal parts are just kind of in line with the key, like the chord changes.
Yeah.
Right. And he does a pretty cool job of like spreading it out on top.
Yeah. Yeah. And with what you said about it being like intense and violent, he is, I would say that about his voice, where it's intense. He doesn't scream or anything like that. But he's still got this intensity and this
pushes it
violence to like how he pushes it. Yeah. And I'd say almost similar to what we're talking about with Chris Hannes. There's just like this genuineness to how he sings everything. Like, it just comes from, like, you know, who he is. Can't see the world, but you can always tell the neighborhood. I want to live and die for something good. Emancipate your soul, tell your brother he's not alone. Life is fucking short to become victims of each other.
So my next one, it might be just my favorite singer. Maybe my favorite singer, which is saying a lot. But I think the range of this artist and the development of this artist from early years of being a very sort of post, almost kind of post-hardcore in influence. The band, I would say, is a very indie band, but post-hardcore and influence. Not screaming, but lots of yelling and, like, blowing out whatever it is he's trying to, like, say. It's Andy Hull. And early Manchester, Andy just let stuff out. I would say Everything to Nothing is probably the epitome of he's pleading at the top of his lungs, belting out, pleading to try to understand something or try to get help or hope or something. Like the river is just like, it's everything. This isn't everything he's got. He's screaming into the microphone with everything. And in the same way, we see, like, kind of from Hope on, and there were elements of it before, right? Like, the river had some elements. Everything to Nothing had some elements. Shake It Out had some elements. But really, just being okay and now writing around a singer-songwriter voice that's also pleading and also asking for help and also asking for hope, but being okay with doing it completely broken all the way down to nothing. His, like, naked voice is just incredible. And we've heard it live a bunch of times.
I don't know that we've heard it naked.
Okay. Fair enough.
I think he's dialed in, like, exactly what.
Sure.
So what process he's running through? What? Yeah.
Sure. But I just respect the range of festival stages with many, many thousands of people in the crowd going nuts, to where he's, like, singing stuff and then just, like, screaming away from the mic to himself while he's playing, mm-hmm. all the way down to, like, singer-songwriter and even, like, vocalist duets, like, with Paris Jackson and things that are so broken down and vocal-like centric. I think I talk to you best when I sing. I sing about almost everything.
I wonder if instead of, like, just naming, like, one and going into detail, just to kind of wrap up, just maybe do, like, I don't want to say honorable mention, but just, like, rattle off
two or three
to wrap up.
Go, yeah, go. Who you got? Who's on the top?
I like, let's see. I really like Matt McDonald of Classic Crime. Andy Hull would be on mine for me. Maybe even David LaPepe of Gang of Youths.
Yeah. Yep.
Hayley Williams of Paramore. Someone's got to mention a woman. But yeah, there's just a few, just to rattle off some.
Yeah, I was gonna say Chris Rowe of the Ataris, which I think is a very underrated, excellent voice. Actually, you're looking at me. Give me a look, Aaron.
Is it too whiny, Aaron?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. That's okay. I just think he was maybe one of the best ever to do it. Sometimes I still see my- Who else do you got?
Agent M from Tsunami Bomb. Yeah. Scott Radinsky.
Oh, yeah.
Ephraim Schultz from Death by Stereo.
We weren't gonna like make it through this without you.
You wouldn't.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, and that's very understandable. Anybody else, Jesse?
I rattled off like three or four after going in depth about a couple, but what have you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think that like Bazan has come up on the show a lot. I think it's super awesome. And a weird one, and I don't think that anybody else would ever say this, but it came to mind when we first mentioned the ideas. Like the other night we were talking and this idea for this episode came up.
I didn't
up.
Think you were going to say Bjork, but here it goes.
It's not Bjork.
Wesley Willis.
And this person...
Derailed! No, I do want to know what it is.
I think it's because it represents it's Jay Maskus, and no one else I think would ever say this, and I want to justify why I say so. Dinosaur Jr. He's known as a guitar player. He has a signature line of Squire Jazz Masters. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's a guy who is respected in the music world, but not for his voice. For me, that era of kind of like early 90s alternative music, like finding Dinosaur Jr. and Silver Jews and some of those bands and sort of like thinking about them and listening to them instead of listening to Pearl Jam and Nirvana and some of that is like pretty informative for me, actually. And I don't sing like Jay Maskus. I don't I don't think a lot of people would think that, but I think that sort of like, I have something I want to say and I'm literally just saying it, like I'm singing it almost. It's just really unique.
Yeah, so he wouldn't be, I mean,
it wasn't about who's the best, it was who's your favorite.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly, which is which plays into what I was trying to say, which is like, he's not your traditional like excellent vocalist, but like you love the way he does it. He delivers it in his own way and it works really well for you.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, we don't normally do this at the end, but what are the beverages we got out on the table? It's a little less than normal. We got the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this beer before.
Yeah, we both got Dingo six, Magic from Modern Times.
Six packs on six packs of that.
And Aaron, what do you got?
I've got Almond Cinnamon Twist from Tiesta Tea.
Awesome. I want to say one more word about Jay Maskus. Because I feel like I'm going to get flack from at least somebody. Two names. I'll throw two names out there. Tell me if they're a great singer. Tom Waits.
Were you really going to say that?
Yes. Is he a good singer?
Like, classically, no. But okay. What he does, he obviously makes it work.
Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
I would say absolutely not.
Right?
Okay. Even like Neil Young. It's like, man, it's not classically like, you know, but Heart of Gold, that live version, come on. Get out of here.
Barry Gibb.
Yeah. Jesse.
No, anyway, okay, so.
All right.
What a nice quick conversation for a Punk Nibbles, so.
Yeah,
we'll probably play. Let's see what's going to be the last track here. If you had to get, well, we're going to play something we just talked about. What's going to play out?
Let's go with "Take the Reins" by Tsunami Bomb.
Okay,
perfect.
All right, hey everybody, so long from the Punk Tree.
See ya. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.